Hi guys, and welcome to another episode of the Dorkiest Timeline Podcast, the tangent to the Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual Podcast. My name is Krisha.
Me llamo es Dennis.
And this is Harold.
Oh wow. Hi guys.
I wanted to change it up because it felt like we've been doing the same thing over and over again.
At least three times.
I appreciate switching it up. I'm sure the audience does too.
I think for this particular part, the audience would appreciate us having to redo that because based off, okay, let's be honest. The first one, first run through, magical gold.
Magical gold.
I don't know. Technology had it in for us on that one.
That wasn't even technology. It was just electricity guys.
Yeah. Thomas Edison.
Thomas Edison.
I blame you, bro.
Isaac Newton threw an apple at him. What? I don't know. So that's how it works, right?
Yeah, William Tell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole thing, the whole deal. Yeah, exactly. There was an overture. It's crazy.
The cherry tree, I will never tell a lie.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm saying.
And then his top hat came off. But like,
That was because he got shot.
Yeah, and then the second episode, dude, I'll admit complete failure on that one.
Started off with Mad Men.
Yeah, as soon as we started with Mad Men, I was like, oh, this is going to go bad. This is badly. I was like,
Good job, editor. Yeah.
I've completely miscalculated this one. So let's try take three.
I'll pretend on this one. Why, yes.
I do enjoy that do particular enjoy program.
That man that is quite mad.
I've seen so many episodes.
Like that one time where the protagonist said, hey.
That's my favorite episode, bro.
I love that episode.
I think that's the finale, right? Spoilers, please.
Yeah, spoiler alert, that was the Mad Men finale.
Yeah. And then don't forget that I started going on tangent on Automan.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Maybe bring that part back.
Yeah, look, all I'm saying is if this doesn't work out, take four Automan episodes.
Oh, I'm
just
down.
Dennis talking for 1 hour on Automan.
I need a slideshow. I need a
PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah, a PowerPoint.
Hey, I can do it. I can do it. And the protagonist is very cute.
Oh, I'm in.
In the 80s sense, you know.
Oh, does he have a mullet like Harold?
Oh, Jesus.
No. Oh. No one has mullet like Harold.
That's true.
No. You know why my mullet isn't particularly different than everybody else's?
Yeah.
And I keep saying this. It's the little wave curl at the bottom.
It's cool.
Pushed up because I got broad shoulders. That's right.
Ooh, fluffy.
Everybody else doesn't have that.
Broad shoulder?
Yeah. Okay. The broad shoulder push up hair. Hair push. Shoulder broad.
The volumizing shoulder action.
So Automan. Okay. So the topic for today is the past three episodes we've done today. We're calling it the lowest common denominator. Dang it, I even screwed that part up. The lowest common denominator based off of the principle. If you ask a certain amount of people what their greatest anything of all time is, everyone's going to have an answer that pretty much falls into the same category. They are pretty much just fallback, fail-safe answers.
Mm-hmm. Like if I tell you, best duo ever, what would you say?
I would say, Simon and Garfunkel.
There you go. Thank you.
But the dynamic duos, I'd probably say Batman and Robin.
Okay, just checking. I mean, that would be the lowest common denominator right there.
Definitely the lowest.
But like, so with this one, the original list we had was craziness. But today's topic, we're actually going to go off of the AFI 100 greatest movies of all time.
Ooh. Oh my God, are we going 100?
No, because that would be a marathon of episode. We don't have that kind of time.
Wow, I like how you put the tilde in that thing.
Yeah, there was the umlaut again. Mm-hmm. So this is.
I think that would be marathon.
Soon. God damn it. AFI, the American Film Institute, made a 100 greatest list in 1998. And then 10 years later, which they haven't done the 20, which still boggles the mind. But 10 years after that, they made a list in 2008. So these are slightly older movies, but at the same time, these are classic movies that almost everybody has seen. If you have not seen them, then there's a generalization of where you think or why you think people might think it's a really great movie.
Got okay, it. So Harold, you've seen this before, right?
Which one?
You've seen the list before?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Kirsch, to change things up.
Okay.
Tell me what you think number one would be, considering it's AFI.
Yeah.
Top 100. Okay.
I got it.
Which one is it?
It's Wizard of Oz.
Your wait, prior knowledge or no?
No, okay, cool. I think that's okay. Number one.
Oh, then
interesting.
Before you start,
I'm gonna say, I'm two, but I'm gonna go. What's the? I'm gonna go Citizen Kane.
Okay.
Citizen Kane. I was originally gonna go Casablanca. I'm going Citizen Kane.
Oh, hold on, Harold. This is the 2008
list. 2008 list.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. Okay.
So just off the list, apparently, according to them, well, I don't know. There's a ton of stuff that came out from 2008 that's obviously just as good, mm-hmm. probably just as memorable mm-hmm. as these things. But we're going to go off this list, and we're going to start from, and this is actually numerical, so we okay. will start with number 10.
Okay.
Okay, cool. Top 10, right?
The top 10.
And it fits any genre and everything.
Yeah, okay, it's just cool. Everything.
Okay.
And the number 10 movie on the top.
So it would be Small Wonder. Here, we'll see. Bring it back just
because Auto Man.
I want to say it.
Hotel California. And Like a Rolling Stone by Bob Dylan. For some
and
reason.
If you were listening to The Corrupted Files, you'd be laughing your butt off right
you
now.
You would get it.
Also, how did you do that? How did you fix that? Because we're still trying to figure that out.
Give us the file.
Okay, number 10, The Wizard of Oz.
I mean, look, I was actually... that's why I asked you if you had prior knowledge, because I thought that would be kind of like up there.
No, then I'd be cheating.
No, I don't, well, no, but I'm just saying I'm impressed that that's what you put. I can see it. to this day, wow,
it's still getting to.
It's. I'm coughing. I'm not emotional about
this. He's not verklempt or anything.
I'm not verklempt. Like I know. For a second there, I was like, wait a minute. Do I actually care about Dorothy and his and that dog Toto too? I mean, considering. Dying.
Considering dying?
There was a lot of death in yeah. Wizard Look, of Oz.
You're not supposed to talk about water. With what was the Roz?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it should be melting. Mm. No, but considering that for the time, you know, the way it looked, the music that is still, you know, still relevant to this day. Hell, they made a freaking musical about it. You know, I think I would say that yes, Wizard of Oz does fit in the top 10. Now.
Well, going back to the scale of it, I feel like Wizard of Oz had, just groundbreaking on all levels. I mean, when you go from black and white to the Technicolor, like no one has seen that before. Like that was just like a. I bring it back always to like historical context. Like that was like something new that pushed the boundaries back then. Sure, we've had, you know, many, many groundbreaking things since then. But at the time, just seeing the world, seeing Munchkin Land and how grand it was, and with all those extras. This definitely belongs in the top 10. I totally thought it was number one, only because it was that movie that they showed on TV for years and years and years, like every Thanksgiving it was on TV. As Dennis brought up, you know, Wicked was based on the Wicked Witch of the West. So like it's already reached another level in that canon, right? And because of that, that's why they made Maleficent, right? The movie Maleficent, because we get to see like the other side of the, we saw the villain side of things, quote unquote, the villain side of things. It definitely belongs on the top 10, in the top 10.
Harold?
Okay. if it was up to me, this is number one.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorite movies of all time. It isn't even nostalgia based. It is because this movie is genuinely a great movie. And that the black and white to Technicolor thing as a kid blew my mind, because I was like, oh, it's a black and white movie. I don't want to watch this. It's from the 1930s. It has to be black and white. And then all of a sudden, you know, mm-hmm. everything, the ruby slippers and everything.
Just magic. Such, it's magic.
Yeah. Music, forever catchy. Over the Rainbow, you know, we talked about, you know, the top 10 songs of all time. It's not one of the top 10 songs, but it's like top 100 song. It's one of the most memorable things ever. Everybody covers this song. Mm-hmm. They can never cover it right, but when they do, like, if you give, like, different versions of this song, ah, it's so good. And, you know, everything else, you know, If I Only Had a Brain, If I Only Had mm-hmm. the Heart, all that kind of stuff. Super catchy songs, a great storyline, the memorable, even the flying monkeys giving me nightmares mm-hmm. as a child, and then obviously seeing the Wicked Witch get blasted by the water. Super, the most unforgettable thing I've seen. F, it was up to me, and they were literally just saying, you know, not your favorite movies of all time, but what are the best movies of all time? This would be my number one.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd put it number one, but again, I would say it does belong in the top 10.
Okay.
Cough, cough.
Are you okay, Dennis?
I'll try. Okay. I'll forge on.
Okay. This is the next number is number 9. This is one might be one of the ones that I'm not sure everybody has seen. I've seen it because I was one of those film dorks back in the day. Mm. The movie is called Vertigo.
Oh, Hitchcock.
The Hitchcock one, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Real quick. Any other Hitchcock ones?
Oh, good question.
Up there?
Maybe.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay.
I definitely, I can see it up there. In terms of, you know, considering the time, again, you're talking about history.
Yes.
Considering what they were able to, and you were still able to get the same sense of fear, the sense of danger, you know, especially considering it's AFI, you know, the fact that you can take something this old and still be able to say that the technical things that they did with the camera, with even with the limited lighting that they had, still amazing to this day. Again, is it one of our favorite movies of all time? Is it something where, you know, every so often I'll be like, hey, you know what? I wanna go watch me some Vertigo. But is it? Could I consider it an accomplishment? I think I can.
I agree with Dennis, the technical aspect of what Hitchcock did in Vertigo. Like, I, you know, that scene is so iconic when he falls, you know, off the stairs, and you know, the camera tricks that he does. I feel like that was also shown in like a Universal Studios.
Yes, it was.
Yeah,
like, it was.
Yeah, like that, like seeing that for the first time. That was so cool, only because this was filmed so long ago. And it already pushed the boundaries of what you can and can't do with, old giant cameras that they had. So, I agree. This is great. It's not my favorite Hitchcock movie, and maybe we'll see what the other one is on the list. But, I agree. This is up there.
I like this movie. It is not my favorite Hitchcock movie.
Oh, definitely
it's
not.
It's probably like my top, it's my fourth favorite Hitchcock movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm very specific.
Yeah, because I'm very strong with the number one, and then two and three are just like, just because I've seen them so many times.
What three is?
It's a thing. Hitchcock directed. Also, honorable mention, The Birds, mainly because I got to meet Tippi Hedren when I worked for a film company, and that's the only movie she ever really did. And so she would talk about The Birds nonstop, and I stopped her and be like, yeah, but can we talk about your daughter? I would love to hear about your daughter. And she was like, you know who my daughter is? I go, well, technically, I know who your daughter and your granddaughter are now.
Oh, yeah.
But Dennis, her daughter is Melanie Griffith.
Oh, I thought you said, oh, she's for The Birds.
Yeah.
Tippi Hedren brought, you know why there's a lot of like, she's one of the reasons why there are a lot of Vietnamese Americans or Vietnamese nail salons. Because of Tippi Hedren.
Did not know that, really? Mm-hmm. How so?
I don't remember. Like, that was like a fact that I...
There you go. Just a factoid, ladies and gentlemen.
I didn't really ask her when I met her.
Now I have to open up my phone.
If only you had a phone.
And be rude.
That's okay. But yeah, I dig Vertigo. Yeah, it's still kind of a trip. Like seeing the special effects that they did now. And to realize that the simplest... sometimes effects work so well Like an effect like that, the spinning and everything works better than a lot of the effects I've seen in like a lot of recent movies.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And, you know, we talked about, you know, technological advancements and everything. You try to make that movie today, it's not going to be the same thing, you know?
It's not going
to
be as suspenseful.
Yeah.
And it's going to be like a bunch of CG stuff floating everywhere and, you know, falling through. It'll be like a crappy version of Get Out. Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. The sunken place? What is it?
Yes, the sunken place.
Which, by the way, just for, I was trying to remember what the music for Alfred Hitchcock was, and then I started humming in my head. For some reason, the only thing that came up was the Pink Panther theme. I was like, I don't think that's the one.
The Alfred Hitchcock hour thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pink Panther.
Yeah, yes, it's Pink Panther.
Is it?
No, it's close to it. But
All I'm thinking of is
that's Alfred Hitchcock, right?
Yeah.
Is it? Hold on. No, you're messing with me. Okay.
It's very close.
Yeah, it's...
So how does it go?
I don't remember.
No, I'm only thinking Pink Panther.
You ruined it. And I can see the... I can literally see the thing. I can see him walking into the shadow or the silhouette. But I can now just hear the damn Pink Panther song.
Yeah, that's all I hear.
You've ruined that thing for me. And when this episode is over, I will look it up.
Yeah.
Until then. Moving on to number eight, Schindler's List.
Oof.
I'm gonna jump in here. I've never seen
Schindler's You've never seen List. Schindler's List?
Never.
Okay.
It seemed too sad.
Den, have you ever seen the List of Schindler?
I have actually. I had to do it for school.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you know where I first saw it? They made me watch it in school, in religion class.
Yeah. Maybe I should do that. Just to waste time. Here you go, Schindler's List.
What are you
not
like,
that, John not that, Mulaney? Hold on, stop it. Not that Schindler's List is a waste of time. I'm just saying, anytime, and this is for any students that might be listening, anytime one of your teachers plops in a movie, they don't have a lesson plan for you. That's all I'm saying.
It's just like that Mulaney bit. Remember? Yeah, I'm just hungover. I'm just going to show them a movie. Is that how you teach a show movies?
Yes, secret. Is it top 10? I'm gonna say no. Mm-hmm. You know, was the story good? Was the acting good? I'm gonna say yes. But it's difficult because the historical aspect of it, the performance that was given, the interpretation of it, you know, it's as accurate and as on point as you can get with Hollywood getting involved in it, you know. But at the same time, and maybe it's because of the topic, at the same time it's the topic, it's not necessarily something that I've... After the first time I watched it, it's not something that I was like, you know what, I'm going to pop into my streaming service right now. I'm looking for where Schindler's List is. So
yeah.
Do I think it's top 10? I don't think so. Was it a good movie? I think so. You know, is it worth watching? I think so. You learn a lot from it. But at the same time, is it something that I would put up there as a top 10? No, I wouldn't put it.
Yeah, it seems to be like a one and done movie.
I've seen it several times.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I'm, you know, sadist.
Right before he goes to sleep.
Yeah.
He's like, you know what? I need me some Schindler.
I watched the Ralph Fiennes scene. Have you heard about the Ralph Fiennes scene?
No.
So Ralph Fiennes, you know, is like a Nazi guy.
Spoiler alert. 30-year-old
His name is pronounced Ralph Fiennes. It's not Ralph Fiennes.
Oh my God. Is it him? Is Rolf?
No, but he could be. He could be Rolf in the future, you know, because he's literally just on his property, picking people off with a sniper rifle.
Aye.
And it's like one of the most disturbing things I've seen in a long time, because he's doing it with such pleasure. He's literally just chilling and drinking and like, hey, look at this. Yeah, historical context. It's a story nobody had ever heard of, or not nobody, but a lot of people had never heard before that came out. The cinematography is beautiful. I can't believe that Spielberg.
Wait, the Holocaust?
No, the Schindler's List.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we, people have heard of the Holocaust. I'd like to believe.
It is a thing that really happened.
Yes, it is complete historical fact. But there are people, and, you know, the aspect of Oscar Schindler himself. Unheard of story until this thing comes out. Yeah, beautifully shot, black and white, except for certain parts that are just like, you know, red. He has a red rose, a red jacket, a red hat, unfortunately. Good storyline, great action when it's there. Liam Neeson not trying to kill people or, you know, find his daughter or anything. It's great to see him playing this particular role. I would say up until 5 years later, this would have been Spielberg's best movie of all time. And then he made Saving Private Ryan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought you were talking about Ready Player One. Well, because you're talking 5 years ago.
5 years ago. Like, no, 5 years after that. But to think that Spielberg released both Jurassic Park and Schindler's List in the same year.
That's probably insane.
Yeah, I don't know.
But here's the thing. Kurz kind of said that it's a one and done thing. And part of me is. But the thing is, though, if you consider Saving Private Ryan, although different, like pain and suffering that is filmed and talked about, mm-hmm. I've watched Saving Private Ryan multiple times.
Me too, three times in the theater.
Yeah, is it maybe it's because of the
action sequence
maybe. But you know, so that's kind of the weird thing for me. Like, the Schindler's List was a difficult watch. Same thing with Saving Private Ryan. So maybe you're right. Maybe it is the action that you're able to, even though it's desensitizing when you see them go through D-Day and everything, mm-hmm. you know, but still, admittedly, I've watched it more times than I've ever watched Schindler's List. So I don't know.
That's true. I've seen Schindler's List, I want to say, three times. I can kind of pinpoint. Mm. But Saving Private Ryan, I don't know how many times I've seen that movie.
Yeah.
Every time it's on TV, I was like, you know what?
Same.
And when they used to show it on Memorial Day, yes. Uncut and unedited.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Good movie. Anyways, unfortunately not on this list. I don't know.
It's okay.
The next one, and this is one of the ones that I don't understand the fascination with this movie, but people talk about it all the time. It's called Lawrence of Arabia.
And again, it's kind of like when with the whole like Citizen Kane. There's the nostalgia with the actors and the actresses. It's a bygone era that people kind of look back to. I've watched it, you know. Again, I don't think I'll ever watch it ever again. I watched it just because I was curious about it. So yeah, I don't get why it would be in top 10. But I can't believe I'm saying this, but kind of like. I'm blanking out. Wizard of Oz. Kind of like the Wizard of Oz. It's gonna be there because of the nostalgia of it, you know. And I think part of that is Lawrence of Arabia is the same thing. There's people out there that's looking for, you know, the bygone era that they miss when they talk about Hollywood. So I wouldn't put it there, but I can kind of see why it would be there.
I also haven't seen Lawrence of Arabia, but it seems like one of those like Hollywood epics.
Yeah.
Like in the what do you call it? Like the the old Hollywood heyday.
Yep.
Like I feel like that was, you know, one if not the biggest movie of that time.
But it's very boring.
Is it a long movie?
It's 4 hours.
Oh yeah.
It could be 4 hours. It's over 3 hours.
But, I mean, think of how many times people have watched Spartacus. But Spartacus isn't really that. I mean, yeah, there's a chariot race. Yeah, there's.
Just that one gladiator weird scene. But there's Tony Curtis.
Was it a good movie? No, but it's
you know, that's a good point. A lot of the Hollywood epics, they're like Ten Commandments. Cool movie. I mean, and like visually stunning and everything,
mm-hmm.
but you know, not to be one of those guys, but like going past how it is now, there's a lot of those scenes you can cut.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, I know you're cutting out the Bible, but you know.
A good movie should have a good editor.
Yeah, like Sally Menke.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that's how you pronounce her. But she's the girl from.
It's Fiennes.
It's Ralph.
Ralph.
So, Lawrence of Arabia, I just remember more of the jokes of anything from Spaceballs towards this movie than I remember the movie itself. I just remember my uncle was fascinated with this movie, and then, you know, that guy would come out and like, hey, it's that guy.
Yeah. Is Spaceballs in the top 10?
It should be.
It should be. Yeah, I agree.
If we're making our own top 10, which one of these days we will. Okay.
We should.
The next one, another Hollywood epic, Gone with the Wind.
Isn't this also like 4 hours long?
Yeah, dude.
I haven't seen the whole thing.
I've watched it.
The whole thing?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing. But again, it was at a point in my life where I was like trying to be a fanboy, wanted to, like, I felt bad that there were certain movies that everybody talks about and I've never watched it before. So I sat down and watched it. And that's 4 hours of my life that I will never, ever get back ever again. It goes with Lawrence of Arabia. It is, you know, the classic Hollywood that everybody misses. And the moment you say, the moment you any critics say that it's not there, they're going to be panned by people saying that, you know, they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know their history. They don't know those things. And it's going to be, so it always has to be there, you know. So, like I said, I watched it.
I think that's kind of what this list seems to be focusing on as well, is that there was an establishment years ago that said, these are the best movies of all time. Mm-hmm. You can't change your mind about this now. It's like, we established that we love Lawrence of Arabia, so you're always going to say it's one of the greatest.
Yeah,
Gone with the Wind, it's one of the longest movies of all time, but it won Oscars, and even though the actress couldn't receive her award because she was not of the right color to get it, it's still, you know, historically great and everything. And it's not even one of those things where you think about how are future generations ever going to view this particular product. This wasn't a thing back in the days. They would just make movies, you know. Right. They would never be like, I wonder what our kids are going to think about this movie. But now people, when they make stuff, it's like, oh, is this going to future hold kind of deal? And so with that, the whole epic thing, with Dennis, I get it. I get why people at the time were saying this is one of the best things of all time, just because it's a long, expensive movie that has somewhat historical representation. But I hardly remember anything about it, and I think I've seen it once or twice.
Do you think if AFI had a 2024 list, that would still be on the list?
Probably, because how do you call it?
It's just one of those.
Yeah. It's
grandfathered in.
There you go. Okay. A lot of these are, I think, because from 98 to 2008, the only thing that moved was Wizard of Oz went down, which doesn't make sense. It went from like number 6 to number 10. Mm-hmm. But all the other movies just moved around. Because I think they're just like, these are the 10 greatest movies of all time. You cannot mess with them in this list, but you can mess around with the order. So this is, it's kind of, So Gone with the Wind. But the next one, I think.
Oh, you should have seen Harold's face, by the way, when he said that. That's the most like,
But the next movie is one I really love, and I have watched it several times. It's called Singing in the Rain. Dan, have you seen?
I have seen Singing in the Rain. I've watched the musical. I've watched the movie. It has memorable moments, memorable songs, but I think it falls under what we've been talking about, where it's preserved there just because it's Gene Kelly, right? That the guy's name?
Yeah.
That's the first time I've seen Kershaw not react to. Am I wrong?
Is it no? Yeah, no, that's right.
Gene Kelly.
Yeah, Gene Kelly, right? Yeah. Yeah, and again, because of the names and the musical itself, you don't mess with that. I wouldn't put it in my top 10, But I mean, I can see the value of it. I like it more. I'd be more open to for it being there than Casablanca or Gone with the Wind, you know. So I can see it, but again, it wouldn't fall under my top 10.
I guess if there had to be an old Hollywood musical on the list, it would be Singing in the Rain. Because of, you know, I concur with what Dennis said. Like, the songs are very memorable. I can't think of any other iconic, like dance sequences.
You actually have the rain going.
To have that happen in the elements, in that special effect, quote unquote. Yeah, if there had to be one, I get it. Singing in the Rain had to be it.
Gene Kelly singing, dancing, it was on point. You know, I loved it. But again, not necessarily my top 10, but I can see why it would be there.
Yeah, I still dig this movie. I think even more the appreciation for Debbie Reynolds has grown. Not because she passed away, because having a lot of the documentaries being made about her by her daughter, it was like, oh, dude, I can't, like, I've seen, I think they made two on HBO. I watch those all the time. Mm-hmm. Wishful Drinking is great, but then there's the other one where it's like just Debbie and Carrie. Mm. And, dude, that one's so sad. But it's like, you understand where she was an actual big Hollywood star, and she was an actual starlet, and then this is her big role where she's pretty much the second main character in this mm-hmm. movie, and then it's like, you know, she gets to do the Good Morning song, one of my, you know.
That's right.
It's a great song and everything. And the music is great. The dancing is great. That's what's always tough about, you know, it's a literal Hollywood musical, where as opposed to The Wizard of Oz, where there is songs, but there's music to it. There's no real choreography and whatnot, except for the, you know, the
Lollipop Guild.
The Lollipop Guild. Because they represent. But in terms of like old school Hollywood musical, I think it's probably the best one. In terms of like when I say Hollywood musical, it's like choreography, dancing, singing, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, there are better musicals.
Yes.
But Hollywood musical, Singing in the Rain. And I understand completely why even people from back then, or people even now, where it's like, oh, this is like one of the greatest movies ever made. Mm-hmm.
Would you happen to know what year Singing in the Rain came out? 60s?
The next one coming up, probably one of the more, I want to say more recent ones, it's like 40 years old. Raging Bull.
Oh.
What
these
number
are,
is this?
Are these all like this black and number, white movies?
Yeah, that's what it seems like. You're going to hate the next, I know you're going to hate
De Niro?
De Niro. Or known as Rocky 3. With More Blood.
Wow. I mean, I guess we should have been expecting
a Scorsese film.
Yeah. He had to be there somewhere. Wow. What year is this?
1980.
Wow. And so recent, yeah. I have to tell you, I wasn't a fan. I mean, I'm a huge Rocky fan, you know, you would think that this would be up my alley, and it did nothing for me. So I don't understand it. To be honest with you, I didn't even realize it was such a big thing. Like, I haven't really heard people talk about Raging Bull too much. So that's why it kind of shocked me that this is the Scorsese movie that would be up there.
I guess it was like, you get to see Robert De Niro, you get to see how he's like regarded as one of the greatest actors of all time. I'm surprised. This is surprising to me. I know this list is 2008, but when did The Departed come out? I feel like
2006.
I feel like
that's a better movie.
Yeah.
I think it is. The Departed.
I like this movie. Mm-hmm. It's not my favorite Scorsese movie. Same. Not my favorite Scorsese movie starring Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
There is.
It's The Irishman. I know that.
Oh yeah. But you know, it's the aesthetic thing of the movie takes place in the, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s. Let's turn it into a black and white film, even though there's, you know, color that's already been established, so you can film movies in color, but let's film it in black and white. Let's have De Niro gain all this weight, so it's like kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. Fight choreography is great, and it's weird because I had obviously seen these movies after I'd seen the Rocky films, so I thought this was more of the fake version of fighting, because, you know, Rocky, that's realistic fighting. Interesting. But when I saw this one, I was like, oh, you know. And the first time I saw it, I was on a plane going to the Philippines. So I don't know if this was the best movie to show on a film, on a plane going to the Philippines, but that's what we got to see. You know, acting great. The film is fantastic, but yeah, I think it is maybe nowadays not so much talked about, because truly, I think if they really redo this list, if they say let's have a De Niro Scorsese movie in the top 10, it's probably Goodfellas. And I love Goodfellas. Yeah. I'm surprised it's not in this list at the moment, mm-hmm. because, you know, the definition of like modern epic.
Yeah.
So messed up. But I can watch that movie all the time.
Goodfellas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not Raging Bull. Raging Bull, I probably watched the one time when he started punching his own face. I was like, I'm out. But yeah. So Raging Bull. And then
number four.
That's number four. Wow. Number three. I know Dennis loves number three.
Ooh.
He's been talking about it all day.
Ooh.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
Casablanca?
It is Casablanca.
Wait, hold on. They're all black and white movies. Wait, Lawrence of Arabia was not in.
Singing in the Rain is color. Gone with the Wind is technically color.
Oh, that's true.
Schindler's List was made in color?
Made in color, yeah.
And then
Wizard
half
of Oz is half. Wizard of Oz. Vertigo is in color.
Oh,
but
okay,
yeah.
Okay. That's right, Vertigo. Forgot.
Yeah. Number three, black and white.
Casablanca.
And
the funny part is the only reason why I've been saying it is because it is the
lowest
fruit that we have. It's every single, you know, is every single person that is a film buff who is asked, what is the greatest movie? It's, for me, it's either going to be, they're either going to say Casablanca or, always like calling it Rosebud, but Citizen Kane, you know what I mean? And it's because of black and white. It's because of the way it's shot. You know, it's, I don't know. I have to tell you that I have watched it just because, again, it's one of those things, like I said, I felt like I needed to watch it if I thought I was like a fan of like movies and everything. But maybe it's because I'm a little bit younger compared to the people who is voting for all of this. And, you know, I didn't see it when I was younger. So I don't understand why it's there. And like I said, admittedly, the only reason why I keep on saying it is because that's the lowest hanging fruit that we can think of. Kurz?
I have seen Casablanca, and it's fine. I feel like the first time I watched it was in school, like Mr. Welch's class. I remember watching Casablanca. He also,
now we know why he showed it.
Yeah, because he didn't have a lesson plan. I don't even know what subject he taught. I don't remember. But that was the first time I watched it. It's been decades since I've seen it, so. I don't know. I guess I can understand the fanfare about it. I don't know. That's not a good answer.
The title of this is Young People Watch Old Movies.
Yeah. I think Dennis makes a good point in that a lot of the times we end up watching these movies are because people tell us they're good movies. And it's like, oh, it's a classic, and it's a classic for a reason. And then you watch it and you're like, well, I can see why you like it, but it's not kind of my style because I'm a little bit younger and I'm learning things.
It's like people hype it up just like Everything Everywhere All at Once, right? We talk about it, we hype it up in a way. there's, it's on a list or two. And when, you know, when you see it, you're like, okay, well, yeah, you're right, Harold. Like, like what you said, I understand why you like it.
Yeah.
So it might not be your particular
team. Like, so for reals, my dad, this is my dad's favorite movie. My dad will watch this movie every time it comes on. And he'll always reminisce about, and it's, I think it's the thing, the nostalgia thing he'll talk about. My dad will give me historic facts about what Casablanca is supposed to represent and what it is and, you know, actual storylines. And then he'll talk about the music and he'll say, this is the part where they sing the song. This is the final ending line, you know, all the other. And I literally almost said what I learned from Gone with the Wind, what happens in this movie. It's just one of those things. It is a generational thing. There are going to be people who like this movie. One of my closest friends, who is our age, loves this movie. And I think it's because it's one of those things her parents showed her when she was a kid. Because when she turned 30, she had me Photoshop her face onto Ingrid Bergman's face, and then her husband's face onto Humphrey Bogart. And then I just told her, I was like, oh, let's not touch the Humphrey Bogart because he's better looking than your husband.
So. Yes.
You know, but it is a thing we can, for me, it's always going to be one of those things where if you sat me down and made me watch it, I would partially be paying attention because I know I've seen enough parts, bits and pieces that I can put the storyline together. Mm-hmm. But I've seen the whole thing probably like 20 years ago. When people were like, this is the greatest movie of all time kind of deal, and you should probably watch it. So,
real quick aside, there was, and now it's back again, a yogurt place in Sherman Oaks area called Humphrey Yogurt.
It's back?
Yeah, it's back. Oh. But it's in a, do you remember where Humphrey Yogurt used to be?
Like Woodland Hills?
Yeah. There was another one. In like Studio City, Sherman Oaks area, but it's in the Gelson's now. There's a booth in Gelson's, but it's the same thing. They have all the flavors and everything. So
that's cool.
Yeah,
it's not called Humphrey Yogurt.
But here's the thing, it only like I went there about a month ago, and I was eating there. I was looking at the sign, and that was the first time I turned to my wife and go, I just realized that it's a play on Humphrey Bogart. she just looked at me and just kind of shook her head.
I think like Meghan Markle worked at Humphrey Yogurt.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Really? Okay.
Down for that. number two is The Godfather.
Oh, okay. Wow. How did that get in there?
Because it's an epic.
Yeah.
I mean, it should be Godfather 2. But if they had to put The Godfather there, I mean, you're right. I think that is the theme. It's just sprawling epics. I'm just so lost at all of these movies.
Well, here, let me help you out with this. Yeah. This fun fact: I've never watched one.
Any of them. You don't need to watch number three.
Yep.
If you're a completionist, you'll watch it.
There was one point my dad made me sit down and watch it. I was like, nope. I don't know. I don't know why, but so I can't tell you.
There is a cut called The Godfather Saga, and it goes in chronological order, because if you don't know, Godfather 2 is both a prequel and a sequel, which is why it's brilliant. But in The Godfather Saga, they have the beginning of the story, and then Godfather 1, and then the end of it's pretty crazy. But for me personally, I love the hell out of this series, both Godfather 1 and Godfather 2. If you go onto my YouTube algorithm, for some reason, there's a lot of me searching up why things are happening in both the Godfather movies, why Michael Corleone has these specific plans and all that kind of stuff. I don't know why
I can see him as Marlon Brando right now
because I have a mullet.
The way he's sitting.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very uncomfortable. But
so was Marlon Brando. Yeah,
that's why he was carrying a cat with him the whole time.
Hey, could you put some mothballs in your cheeks, Ruger?
I just jammed the microphone in my mouth.
Do it.
But I've seen. No, goddammit. The I've seen, I don't know, remember when I got obsessed with this series, but I did, and every time it moves to a new streaming service, I end up watching it on that one. So from the last one, I remember maybe a month or two ago, it was on Paramount Plus, because my coworker's son had never seen it and he wanted to watch it, so we watched it on a, you know, at work, pretending it was work. Yeah, dude, it's literally the whole. The reason why people love Scarface is because it's a rags to riches thing. It's not even that, because when the Corleone family comes into power, they're already technically rich. So when Michael does his thing, it's like Michael's turned from innocent into like the most evil person in the world. It's, you know, he's the new Darth Vader. And I love that. Also, James Caan.
Great. Caan?
Yeah.
Also James Caan.
And oh my god, it just the whole thing. Yeah, I watch that series all the time. I would hope that Godfather 2 would be number 11 on this list.
It might be,
or at least 12, because I have an idea for what I would pick for 11. Actually, number one. But
wow, okay, yeah, number Godfather. One.
Ooh, okay, this is
number one.
I think it's a gimme, right?
What's number one?
What's the movie that people always say is the greatest movie of all time?
Citizen Kane.
Citizen Kane.
Shut up. Really?
Yeah.
I was just joking about that.
See, that's the thing is, you don't even have to think about it, because it naturally comes to your mind that when people say, that what's the greatest movie of all time, people are going to say Citizen Kane. And I only know about Citizen Kane because I went to Hearst Castle and they trashed him when we were at Hearst Castle. Because they're like, you see this crap? You see this Citizen Kane movie? I don't know why it became a John Mulaney skit, but like... But when we went to Hearst Castle, they were showing one of the things is one of his projector rooms that had projections of Charlie Chaplin playing tennis. And they said, well, you never would have got this kind of coverage if you think about how, you know, William Randolph Hearst lived according to Orson Welles in his fantastic. And then they just went off thing. It was really strange. But Citizen Kane, I kind of get it. The whole, you know, mysterious, what the hell is a bud of rose, you know?
I do like Citizen Kane.
Mm-hmm.
I think we talked about the, like, camera tricks and in-camera effects. The way that movie is cut, like, the transitions in that movie, they're so specific. I feel like one of the shots, they had to like cut a hole in the floor for it to match up with the moon. Like it was, like everything was intentional, which is so funny because the movie is the mystery.
Yeah.
But every shot was intentional and perfect and lined up with the next. I feel like if you just watch like the first 20 minutes again, you get to see how that movie was meticulously pieced together. We talked about editors. We talked about, repeating myself. The in-camera shots or the different angles of, or the camera placement. I think that movie was like the epitome of like how technical and precise filmmaking can be on top of, you know, how a story can be told.
And I think that's kind of, you know, you're talking about intentionality. You know, I think that's what, you know, we've been at least I've been kind of poo-pooing like the older black and white Hollywood epics, and I'm talking about how, you know, it's a longing and everything. But all the ones that we've been talking about in the top 10, though, each one has an intentional look. Like there was a vision that each of the, you know, each of the people that the directors, the you know, whoever it is, had a vision of what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we were talking about Schindler's List, and we're talking about how, you know, we would rather watch another movie, but there was an intentional. There's a reason why it was black and white, so that you can have that. You know, that red flower as a, you know, as a, symbolic thing. And I think that's what, even to this day, that's why there's still people, especially since it's AFI, the critics, there's always going to be people that's going to be looking at those things. Mm. While, yes, there are more enjoyable movies that we might put into our top 10, but cinematography, style, all those things, as a, as a casual in terms of that, I really wouldn't be able to say a lot about it. So again, kind of like Citizen Kane, there were, like you said, there were even that the most famous, the only quote that everybody has, the whole Rosebud thing. Like, that's why you have The Simpsons. That's why you have all of these different other shows parody that same shot. But when they parody it, they even have their own style that is evocative of some sort of emotion. And I think that's what all the Hollywood epics, especially Citizen Kane, that's what it's able to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a good movie. It is, I do appreciate the cinematography of the movie, the brand new techniques he used to film stuff like that. Him himself, not the greatest actor in the world. In fact, he's probably one of the things that when I first watched it, I was like, can they get anybody else for this? I was like, oh, wait a minute.
No.
I'm sorry. Nobody else is going to do this.
It's like Rocky.
Yeah. But, that Rocky had better fight scenes. I get it. And I do see why a lot of people are saying that it could be the greatest movie of all time, because it's just something different that came out at the time. And there's a lot of things that just built off of it. A lot of people, like you said, then they evoke the authenticity that original series, original movie had. So it's like they built so many different things based off what this thing created. Yep. So, and then my question to you guys is, that's the top of 10 of the AFI 100 from 2008. What do you think was missing? Or what did you expect to be in the top 10 that wasn't there?
That's a good question.
And then if you could add one to in there, what would it be?
Except for maybe Lawrence of Arabia. I think I can see why it's there. And I think it's a part of it is you kind of have to kind of shift your perspective of what it is, Like, if this was a Maxim Top 100 type thing, it's going to be completely different because of who's picking and choosing.
True.
Jessica Simpson.
You know what I mean?
Because she was still hot when Maxim was out. Not now. Obviously, this is Maxim. This is AFI Maxim 100 2005.
Would I add one? Hollywood epics, Hollywood classics are always there, and there's always been one Hollywood classic that I've always, it's one of the few Hollywood classics that to this day I watch at least once a year. It's something that Harold and I have talked about before, and the movie is An Affair to Remember. An Affair to Remember, the reason why I put it there, aside from A, it's a great movie, but it's, there's a lot of shots there. There's a lot of cinematography that's done where you look at it and you're like, I wonder why they did it this way. But there's a scene there where the reveal of the grandmother's cloak, and there's a reveal at the end of what actually happened and everything. It's just not done the way it is now. It's a little confusing because of the technique that they used, but again, I still watch it to this day. I'm still trying to convince my daughter to watch it because I think it's such a great movie. I think if there's one Hollywood epic that I would put there, that would be it.
I think Harold knows my answer. I would add Pulp Fiction to this list.
That's what I figured.
I knew it. I knew you knew. I feel like it. It just played with so much genre. And yes, Tarantino is so influenced by other directors on that list and maybe also copied a lot of those directors on that list. But in a way, he made it his own. I just like the play with time. I like the acting is so great in Pulp Fiction. I feel like all those characters are very memorable. And it as a whole, not only, solidified Quentin Tarantino as one of like a Hollywood darling, but, you know, also changed how we see movies because it showed us how different a movie, how different a story can be told, right, through this medium. Like, it's so, I don't want to say it's groundbreaking. I think it was groundbreaking because I saw that before I saw Reservoir Dogs. If I saw Reservoir Dogs first, I think that would be on my list. But it definitely kind of like opened my eyes. And I got to see how someone can still play with genres and still tell a cohesive story.
H?
I think, if anything, the ones I'm surprised wasn't on there is anything with Kubrick. Like, no.
That's true.
No 2001, A Space Odyssey, yeah. Which everybody's like, oh my God, look at this thing. And even now, it's kind of cool. Or One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, yeah.
I love those two movies. But the one that I am severely, like, the movie I think that could kick everything out of this, like, could kick any of those movies out, is my favorite movie of all time. And it's also because it's a Hollywood epic. It's also a Hollywood musical. It is also historical fact. It's not historical fact.
Back to the Future?
Well, that too. I would, you know what? I would kick out Lawrence of Arabia.
Yeah.
I would
shout. We can put two movies in the place of Lawrence of Arabia.
Yeah, it's the same exact runtime.
Yeah.
Well, Sound of Music's pretty long, but Sound of Music.
Yeah.
I think it's in the top 15, but like for me growing up, Sound of Music and Wizard of Oz has always been like my musical jams besides Sister Act 2. And yeah, they're in the same genre. But I had never understood what like epic movies were because I had just assumed that that's where how movies were supposed to be. Like, Sound of Music, where there's singing along and then there's storyline and it's a cool story. Same thing with The Wizard of Oz. And then when these other movies started coming out, where I'm like, why am I watching an overly long, overly dramatic thing? Nobody's having fun here. And I was like, oh, these are what other people like as movies. It's just not my deal. It eventually becomes my deal in some of these things, but for a lot of the parts that are in the, you know, in a thing that's, you know, 16 years old by this time, it's tough to justify still having them there. So I hope they updated it. We could probably do our own one of these days. We cannot call it AFI because we're not completely American. Or Film
Asian Institute. Filipino.
Yeah,
AFI?
AAPI. We can call it the AAPI. Who's calling it the AAPI? No one is using the AAPI, right?
No, no one is.
Yeah, not in May.
Of all the months,
no one's using it in May.
Wait, what was your movie?
Which one?
Sound of Music.
Sound of Music. Sound of Music.
Yeah, Sound of Music. Sorry. Yeah, I just went by it so fast.
I thought it was what you wanted to add.
Yeah, I would add
Sound of Music.
Sound of Music. Okay. Yeah, because I truly believe it has the whole World War II thing without the murder. Or no, there's no fight scenes.
Right.
But in terms of a storyline, you know, storyline.
Well, they fought against the nuns. Come on.
Yeah. And according to that one Family Guy scene, they cut off Rolf's head. But, I mean, in the version that we see,
Rolf needed to die.
Yeah. You know.
You don't treat Lisa like that. Come on.
Yeah. You son of a.
Of all the people, you don't treat Lisa like that.
Surprised the captain didn't jam his whistle up. Anyways. So that's the version I want to see. Yeah. But, there's a lot of these things where I think, in general, we as people who love movies and for the most part regular movie fans have been told by so many critics and so many reviewers of the past that this is the standard of movies that you're supposed to love, mm-hmm. and you have to watch it. That is not true to anybody listening to this. Even what we say in our reviews and everything, if we say it's a guarantee, you don't gotta watch it.
Yeah,
it's up to you. But if it's in your wheelhouse,
yeah, nobody actually watches The Godfather.
Yeah, just Harold. all the time. Literally all the time. What a movie.
Wait, would you put, I don't know if I got a response. Would you put Back to the Future up there?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Okay. Just checking. If we're going like actual, an actual good movie, I haven't watched Back to the Future in days, bro. I know.
But Schindler's List yesterday. because it was a Tuesday.
Yeah. Oh, my
God. That's it for us, guys. I think a third try is a
charm.
I think this episode was more of a Hollywood epic.
Oh yeah. This is the Lawrence Arabia. Lawrence of Arabia.
No, let's not go Lawrence. We'll at least go like, you know,
Raging Bull.
Raging Bull.
Raging okay. Bull.
This was the Raging Bull of episodes.
It's bloody. It could have been better.
And
we had something start. There's another version out there that's better.
There's
it's called Rocky.
And we got bloated.
Yeah.
On that note, this has been another episode of the Dorkiest Timeline Podcast, The Tangent to the Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Krisha.
This is Dennis.
Harold, thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Peace.